Ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals, my name is Jared, and with me is my mystery-solving friend, Anna.
Hi.
We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored and grateful that you've joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide a little insight on how to play, and share some of our thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Micro Macro Crime City. Designed by Johannes Sitch. Artwork created by Daniel Gall, Tobias Joe Chinkle, and Johannes Sitch. And published, got through all that, and then published, screwed me up. And published by Pegasus Spiel.
Micro Macro Crime City is a 1-4 player cooperative game in which players work together as detectives to find hidden clues that string together to solve the very, very many crimes of Crime City.
So many.
Makes sense. Will this game earn a Medal of Honor at the end of the case? Or is it doomed to blend in? As well as that one guy at the park who murdered his friend with a baseball bat now is trying to run away. Find out as we discuss.
Nice.
That wasn't nice. We just talked about somebody being murdered with a baseball bat.
It happens.
And it's not nice. Ever.
I think both points are valid.
Okay.
Anna.
Yes, Jared.
Do you have a favorite cartoon?
What?
Do you have a favorite cartoon?
That's your opening question?
That's one of my opening questions, yes.
I thought you were going to ask what my favorite mystery.
Oh, well, excuse me. Anna?
Yes, Jared?
What was your favorite mystery genre growing up?
Well, I would probably categorize mystery as its own genre, but...
That's the question you just asked.
It was a badly phrased question. You should have phrased it better.
Right. I should have, but I was,
led astray.
Poorly educated.
So, Jared. What was your favorite mystery series to either watch or read when you were a kid?
I think this counts. I was a really big fan of Artemis Fowl when I was a kid.
Oh.
And it's not exactly your traditional find out who done it because he is the criminal, but there is several mysteries that get unsolved in this book series. It's a book series that got me into reading, and I fell in love with several of the characters. Butler was my favorite, and that's one of them that I would choose for sure.
Cool.
What about for you?
Well, mystery was probably actually my favorite genre to read when I was a kid. So I actually, when I was 6 years old, I wrote my very own mystery because I really liked reading The Boxcar Children.
This tracks.
Which, yeah, I got really bored after the first chapter and just kind of ended it because writing a book took longer than I expected.
Oh, I thought you were saying you gave The Boxcar Children one chapter and got bored.
No. No, I wrote a chapter in my own mystery book. It was illustrated and everything. It was great. But it was not as good as The Boxcar Children, and I gave up. Anyway, but The Boxcar Children was where I started. And then, of course, I graduated to Hardy Boys. And we had a grand old time. That was probably my favorite thing to read growing up.
Okay. I can dig it. So, I go back to my previous question. Did you have a favorite cartoon growing up?
Bugs Bunny.
I meant more like a newspaper cartoon.
Oh man. Yeah. Probably either Calvin and Hobbes or Zits.
Okay. All right.
So you know what both those are, right?
I do. I actually knew you were going to pick Calvin and Hobbes.
Well, so Zits was fun to read in the newspaper. Calvin and Hobbes, I don't think, printed in the newspaper anymore when I was growing up. So we had books of Calvin and Hobbes, and those were really, really fun to read. Zits was one of my favorite to read in the newspapers, and Dilbert was quite fun because I imagined that it was like what my dad's life was because he went away to work at the office
every day.
That
also tracks.
So that one was entertaining, too. How about you?
Dilbert is really good. I do like Dilbert, and I like Calvin and Hobbes too. But I also I had a love for Garfield.
Oh.
I really enjoyed that, and it was fun. I mean, there was a TV series, and I think a silly movie as well that were enjoyable. But the comics in the newspaper growing up were really fun, and I really enjoyed those.
Did you ever watch the live action one?
What?
Yeah.
There's a live action Garfield?
Well, I think it was. It was like CGI live action. You never watched that?
Maybe.
All right. I'll have to show it to you if you didn't.
We'll have to look it up. Yeah. I feel like, I mean, I'm sure there's lots of Garfield movies.
There was
obviously
that cartoon movie, obviously.
Yeah. I definitely remember that one.
Where, yeah, yeah.
You know what? I think, I vaguely remember this. Very vaguely.
It was a while ago.
Okay. So one more question and then we'll move on.
Goodness gracious.
Well, there's lots of things that tie into this little game.
I know. This game is so, so deep.
Well, there's lots going on. That's for sure. Where's Waldo? Did you do Where's Waldo growing up?
Yes.
I did too.
And various related Where's Waldo things.
Yes.
You know, like the I Spy books.
Yeah, those were cool.
Yeah. So we had a couple Where's Waldo and we had a couple of the I Spy books. And there was one that I pretty much just memorized because... I guess like on car trips, that was one of my favorite books.
Hmm. Okay.
And it took me forever to like find things on every page, but then I went through it so much. I was like, I'm a master at I Spy.
That's awesome.
Yep.
All right. So I'm going to use those questions to segue right into talking about the artwork in this game. We'll come back to the how to play here in a little bit. But this game has a really cutesy, cartoony kind of style. On the box, it actually shows you part of the map. And that is the artwork that you're getting all the way through. And it's got a very newspapery, Where's Waldo kind of feel to it, but it's all black and white. And I really like the aesthetic. If I was done playing this game, I might color it because it's just asking to be colored.
Yeah, it is interesting that it's in black and white.
I think you had to do that. Like, you would add an extra $10 to this game if you did color for how big the map is.
Well, I also wonder if... it makes things look a little bit uniform because spoilers a little bit, but as you go through the game, you're trying to pick out certain characters. And if I knew that this character was wearing a green shirt with a red heart on it, then it might be easier to pick out than just among other black and white characters. So I'm almost wondering maybe if they did it in color in playtesting and it made it something else to scan for, and they decided that that wasn't the way they wanted to go. But yeah, it is interesting that the whole thing is in black and white. And you're mentioning the game box is part of the map.
Yeah.
So yeah, but the map is like 20 times bigger than the game box. So you're getting a lot more of what you're seeing on the box, which is fun.
The other cool thing about the artwork and the box itself, I know we should talk more about the components inside, but the box lets you test run the game.
You got your little demo round
on
the box.
You demo the box. You can just go to Barnes & Noble, pick it up off the shelf, and read the back. It'll walk you through it, and you can try it out and see if it's for you. So there's that.
And by that, Jared means that there is a mystery to solve on the front of the box, because this game is all about solving different mysteries that are happening within the city.
They're not mysteries so much as they're crimes. It's not like ghosts and stuff. It's more like murder and robberies and things of that nature.
That's true. But you're the detective that's trying to solve the whodunit and why of the crime.
That's right. Very good.
And so when you first look at the map, you think, oh, this is just a city. But actually, it's showing progression of time. And so maybe you'll find one person that looks really similar to this other person that's a block away. And actually, they're the same person. It's showing the time lapse of that person walking from one block to the next. And so that's one thing to kind of keep in mind as you're looking at the map.
Yeah. I mean, and this, whoever thought to even try to do this, I mean, I guess it's been happening for a long time because you do have variants on Where's Waldo. I'm sure this game may or may not be the first to try this time lapse thing. But every time I play this game and I look at the artwork and I look at the different blocks of the city, I just think about how hard it had to be to design and playtest this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because the amount of artwork that had to be just right and put in the right spot, and it has to tie in to 16 different cases that come in the base box.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot going on here for sure. All right, so with that, we'll switch into a brief overview of how to play. This game is very straightforward as far as the rules. So I'm not going to spend too much time here, but I will go over the basics. So you have this really big map. We have a 4x4 foot kitchen table, and it covered most of it. It is very sizable. The good thing is it's made of very good quality, so it does fold up really well. So if you don't have a massive space, then you can kind of fold it where you need to. You're not always using the whole map when you're trying to solve one of the 16 cases that come in the box. But anyway, so you put out your map, you have your little magnifying glass to help you out, and then you also will pick a case. They are in these like semi-transparent envelopes. There's roughly five or so cards, maybe a little bit more as you go through it. And you'll pick one of these, and that'll be the case that you work through. This game plays in roughly 5 to 20 minutes, depending on how good you are at solving cases, how difficult the case is, things of that nature. But so you'll pick a case. It's a stack of cards. You don't look through the cards. You just start with the top one. It'll give you a place to start on the map, a brief blurb of what you're kind of looking for, and then you start working through it. Once you find the first clue, then you get to move on to the next card, and you keep doing this until you eventually solve the case. Like Anna said a minute ago, you are working your way from block to block of sorts. You're kind of looking for the time progression backwards to kind of see either where something started or where something ended, and then working your way through it to figure out what happened. And once you have solved it, everyone says hooray, and then they can either move on to the next one, or they can put it away. There's different levels of difficulty within the 16 cases. There is a harder mode where they claim, according to the rules, that you can solve each of the cases without using the cards, which is bonkers to me. Like you start with just the top card, but then you solve the whole case.
Oh, especially because some of them are not very intuitive. I mean, some of them are, like if you find a body and it's dead and there's a gun right beside it, and then you see a dude a block away that's carrying a gun walking towards that section, then you're like, okay, maybe he shot him, and you can follow him back and try to figure out where he bought the gun and where he's headed, et cetera, et cetera. But there's some where I think it'd be very hard to figure out the motive of the crime, because it's not so straightforward as like, here's the murder weapon, here's the murderer. You've got to know where the murderer, why the murderer wanted to commit the crime, or where the bank robbers stashed their loot. And so I think if I wasn't asked some of those specific questions, I might think, oh, look, there's the bank robbers, we got them. But I liked that the card then was like, okay, now you got to figure out where their getaway car was, and now you got to figure out where they stashed the money so you can get it back to the bank. And I think those questions were helpful to go through the crime. I don't know that I would have thought about as many angles of clues had I hadn't had the questions.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm not someone who is wired to just find the mystery within this sea of chaos. So I don't even know that I would really enjoy that. But if you're someone who is a master crime solver, then maybe you would want to check that part out.
Maybe you would.
So Anna, we picked this as a two top, even though it's a 1-4 player game, because we feel like, well, why don't you tell us why?
Well, I felt like even at two players, we had to take turns.
Yes.
So,
and I think that's more the case for some of the easier crimes. And once you get up there in difficulty, it's not as much an issue. But if you're first starting out, it's definitely taking turns.
Well, yeah. And when you're first starting out, it is the first few cases are geographically kind of located on one side of the map or the other. But as you get to some of the more advanced cases, you're traveling all over the map.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so you might be in a place where there was a murderer and he is in a getaway car and he could be anywhere in the city. And so you're scanning the whole city to see this murderer in the getaway car who has changed clothes now. And so you've got to figure out who he is just based on some little nick on his car or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so you could be scanning the whole map for that. And maybe that could be nice with four people. But frankly, I feel like two players was plenty. And it did feel like you were reading the cards, I was looking, and then I would swap places with you and let you look for a little while. I just really can't imagine it feeling fulfilling for everybody if it was played with four people. I feel like you'd have one person that was really good at finding things that would always find the things, and the other players would be like, oh, good job, and yep. read the next clue and kind of feel left out. So, yeah.
I refuse to play this game at more than two because of that. And because, I mean, it's good that the map is so big, you'd think that would help to add more players. But because of how big it is, you can only have two people on one side still looking at the map the right way. So for the people looking at it upside down, and when you're trying to solve this crime, I mean, it's not as bad because it's a city. I don't know. I just feel like there's only so many cards to look at, and you're only looking at one at a time. I would not want to play this with more than two.
Yeah, because you can't really say, all right, I'll look for the murderer and you go look for this other thing, because the cards go in a progression. And so if you were to go to the next card, you would have the answer for the first thing you were looking for, or it would build on the first thing you're looking for. So you really can't be looking for two separate things at the same time. You're both looking for one thing.
Right. But that being said, that does not mean that it's a bad game. It just means that it has a certain group that it is drawing itself to.
Yeah, I think it plays really well with two people. I think it could play really well with one person.
Absolutely.
Although I kind of liked playing it with another person because we could kind of check each other. Because it is this cartoon style artwork. It is all black and white. And frankly, sometimes people looked like somebody when they weren't that person. And so I could be like, do you think this is the guy? Do you think this is the right card? Do you think this is whatever? And so I think it helped to have a second brain as we were going through comparing the pictures and trying to figure that out.
Completely agree. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, if you are into solo games, or if you want to have something out off to the side while you're at work or something, and if you work from home, obviously you couldn't take this to the office, but no, if it was something where you could have it off to the side, almost like a puzzle, right?
Yeah.
Like where you just come back to it every once in a while. I think you could do that. You could just kind of mark where you left off and then come back later if you want to do that or whatever. But one or two definitely is the player count that I would go with.
Yeah. And it does come with markers, which is nice.
Yeah.
Because I could see with some of the harder cases, you actually getting stumped. Kind of like in a Where's Waldo or an I Spy situation where you know you're supposed to find this next thing and you've looked at it for 30 minutes and your eyes are watering and you just can't find the next thing. So it does come with small markers where you can mark, okay, here's the last place I saw the murderer. Here's the last clue that I found.
Right.
And then you could very easily come back and not have to retrace all your steps if you got stumped in the middle of a case and wanted to come back to it another time.
That's right. That's right. All right. So with that, Anna, what draws you into this game?
Well, Jared, I just told you that mysteries were my favorite genre.
That's true. That's true. If you don't like mysteries, this is probably not the game for you.
That's right. That's right. And I like puzzles, and it felt very puzzly. I enjoy games where you're figuring things out. We were kind of building a case for some of them, like where I know this crime is committed, but I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. And we were kind of building it up. So I think that draws me in, the puzzle aspect, the mystery aspect, and the fact that it's just such a unique game.
Yeah.
I think it fills a niche that I don't really know of a lot of games that are like this, because we've played other puzzle games. We've played, you know, some of the escape room games, like the exit games or the unlock games. We've played Chronicles of Crime, and this game as a mystery game plays really different from any of the other ones that we've played, which is fun.
For sure. And I'll kind of build on that. So I'm always looking for puzzly kind of games because I know that you like puzzles.
Yeah.
But I don't like puzzles. Specifically, like jigsaw puzzles is what I'm talking about. Like I love solving puzzles. Like you and I enjoy going to like the escape game or figuring out some kind of, we love doing the murder mystery dinner, stuff like that. Like all that stuff is fun.
See, you're so, yeah, I feel like it's this really narrow window for you though, because you don't even really like puzzly video games as much.
Well, that's not true. Like, we played Snipper Clips, and I like that. And I did,
not a lot, though.
It is not my favorite. That is true.
Yeah.
Yes.
You prefer some of the other kinds. Anyway,
I will get bored of Snipper Clips after a while, and I will want to move on. That is correct. But, no, another one that I don't know if you and I played, I think you might have played with a friend, but Portal was a puzzle game. But I think I like that more because...
I didn't think you liked that one.
Well, so it's like a combination of figuring things out, but also like you have to have a level of skill to get through Portal.
Yes.
So it keeps my attention.
A level of dexterity, you're
saying.
That's
right. Yeah, well, hand-eye coordination or whatever. So if it's just a puzzle, yes, I will get bored after a while. But I do like finding these kind of games because I know that you enjoy them. And I enjoy them fairly well. And I really liked this one because even if like I started to either the crime was on your side of the map or we were kind of stumped and I would kind of find myself getting, you know, bored and distracted, I could just stay focused on the game because the art is so cute.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. And there's a lot of detail, obviously, not just for the crimes themselves, but also for the rest of the artwork that's going on in the game. So I really appreciate that about the game as well, is that there is not a lack of attention to detail in any part of the map. Like, all of it's very fleshed out. The city feels very alive, except for the people who are dead. And it's just, yeah, it's really well done from a publishing and artwork standpoint, which really helps keep my focus.
Yeah, and sometimes that's even a distraction because you'll be trying to solve one case and you'll be like, oh, hang on. I see this other guy running away from a dead body too, and you kind of want to get distracted. But yeah,
that is true. It's both.
You have these little scenes throughout the game, which are really fun, even when they're not directly applying to what you're trying to solve.
And it adds to the complexity because you might get sidetracked and whatever. So no, it's really good. I think it's a fun either date night or just if you have one other friend and you want to play something for 20 minutes, like just pull out, do a crime scene, and then you're good.
Yeah.
Is there anything about the game that you really don't care for?
I wasn't sure that the magnifying glass added a lot. Maybe you can speak to that as somebody who has poorer eyesight than I do.
Yeah, I have terrible eyesight.
Did you feel like the magnifying glass added a lot?
It helped. I don't know that it added a lot.
Okay.
I think I would want a better magnifying glass.
Okay.
Because just by itself, with my bad eyesight, like, very easy to get lost in the weeds of everything going on in the map. And I would feel like my eyes losing focus. And then that's when I grabbed the thing and I was like, okay, let's try this thing out. And that was very helpful.
But you would use it for specific things. You wouldn't use it for like searching the whole map or something
like
that,
that
right?
Is correct. Yeah. Yeah. Like it's... once we found the trail, it was helpful to follow the trail to use the magnifying glass.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah, so that's one thing. I was like, it came with a magnifying glass. Oh, that's so cute. But it felt more thematic. Like, oh, this is a fun mystery thing. I didn't feel like it added a lot. I felt like I was able to see things on the board fine without the magnifying glass, even though I did use it a few times to be like, let's examine the crime scene and like look at things closer. I don't know that I really found anything extra with it. And the other thing is just that it does take up a lot of room.
It does.
I think the first time we played it, we did maybe two or three of the puzzles, and my back was hurting by the end because I'm
You're
having
like climbing
to like,
over the table.
Yeah, I'm gonna like lay on the table to see the top of the map at the same time as the lower. And you're leaning way over it, getting really in close. I feel like you couldn't play it for very long without, your back and shoulders hurting and your eyes starting to water and everything like that because it's the map is so big, it's not easily accessible. The map is so big. And the characters and scenes on the map are small enough that you do have to get very close to see them. So it's not really feasible to just sit back in your chair and just see the whole map. You're not going to notice the details that you need in order to do that.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. So I would also add for the size of the map, there, especially with some of the more easier scenarios, and I only make this a critique because other new players are also going to feel this way, and it's more of an encouragement to hang in there. There were crimes where it was all happening on one side of the map. And so the choices that I had were to either sit there and watch you do it and just be the one reading off the card, or walk all the way around the table to go sit on the other side, knowing that I had to go all the way back. And I'm like, obviously I'm complaining about something very minute, but
yeah,
it was
and there
not
really
like,
weren't very many crimes that were only on one side. It'd be like the first part was on one side, but then the second part was on the other side. I think there was only one that we did where it was only on the one side.
Yeah, but it is early. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So like you could feel, you could get frustrated and think, man, this game is like basically a solo game, and I just got to wait for them to finish, and then it's my turn, and then they're going to wait and whatever. But that's not really the case. But there are times where you're just kind of sitting there being like, all right, well, she's got it, unless I want to climb all the way over the table to go see it. It's not like most board games where I can just observe the whole board like you were talking about.
Yes. Be prepared to climb all over the table.
And each other.
And yeah, and tell your person you're playing with to scoot over and all sorts of things like that.
It's true. Yep. So there's a lot of scooting, which is, it's all right. It's not terrible. Would you say this game travels well?
Well, I mean, if you've got a big enough space for it, then yeah. I think it's super easy. It's just a piece of, it's just a map and cards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's one of the coolest parts about it, because I love games that have a lot of components, but the components take a while to set up and a while to take down. And this is a short game where you can just spread the map on the table and go.
I think if you're okay playing on the floor, then it travels well.
Okay.
Like if you're going to an Airbnb or a hotel or whatever, and you want a game that you can just kind of entertain yourself with, but because most of those are not going to have a table big enough to just fully spread the map out open. It would not work at a restaurant. Definitely not a airline tray table. And so I just, like I said, you can fold it and only like work parts of the map at a time, but I feel like that would be get really messy when you get to some more like complex scenarios trying to keep up with all that. So I think it's okay, but you're going to want to make sure that wherever you're going has a decent sized table or be okay playing on the floor. But you're right. It's very small amount of components. So it, from that perspective, it does travel well.
Yeah. And I wonder, does it have the dimensions of the map on the box? Because then, I mean, you could kind of almost know before you bought it, where could I play this and where could I not? So I'm curious about that.
It does not.
Okay. Well, like we just told you all, we played it on our table, which is 4 feet by probably like 5 feet, actually, because it's a little bit longer than it is wide.
Yeah, but it didn't, on the wide way, it didn't take up the whole table.
Yeah. But it used up our whole table. We could not have played on a smaller table than what we had.
Nice. So going back to one of the things we just talked, so I was looking up on BGG to see if I could find the map size, if anybody posted it.
Yeah.
But someone else posted in the forum saying a warning about this game. And so they were talking about their first time playing this game, and it was three adults leaning on one side of the dining room table, all noses pressed inches from the map, looking onto the map to try and find out what was going on, when they heard a very loud snap.
No!
And one of the legs of the table had broken. So beware of your table when you're climbing all over it. Not all tables are built as well as mine. So
I feel like we gave sufficient warning. Yeah. Consider yourself warned. Oh, that's hilarious.
That is really funny.
Yeah, and totally, absolutely probable with this game and the way that you've got to get so close and kind of be right above the map. So,
all right. So at GameNerds.com, you can, and that's spelled with a Z, you can get this game for the low, low price of $24.47 before tax.
Interesting.
And shipping. If you get it on Amazon right now, you're looking at $40.
Okay.
Because the original game came out in 2020, I think late 2020, early 2021. And it looks like it might be between print runs. So Amazon's doing that thing where they jack up the price when, you know, supply and demand, folks. That's how it works.
That makes sense. Yeah, because it won all of its awards in 2021. So it probably came out late 2020 then.
Oh, wait, correction. I found it another place. All right, so at Amazon, you can get it for $29.95.
Okay.
So you're in that 25 to 30 range. Do you feel like it is an appropriate price point for what you get?
To be honest, I could not have told you what this game cost, because while it is just ink on a piece of paper, I'm thinking about the immense amount of work that went to creating that many scenes on that huge of a thing. And I was like, gosh, they're going to have to charge a ton for this because of just the amount of effort that goes into creating that. So yeah, I feel like between $20, $30 sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah, and I think even taking that and putting it aside, I really appreciate the fact that they did not skimp on the map. The map has a nice glossy feel to it, to where you know that it's going to hold up. It's not actually just paper, which would rip with the amount of times that you would fold and unfold it. And then the cards have a nice quality to them. So I think there's enough in the box that it justifies a $25 to $30 price point. And I mean, it's not exactly the same as going to an escape game, but like going to an escape game is $30 a person minimum. So I think you're really getting your value if you're wanting some crime solving time at home. And this does a good job of it. I actually like this better than some of the other crime games that we've played.
Yeah, I agree. I think some of the other crime games we've played, it's hard to know what they're getting at. And this one, it was really clear, actually. I mean, you'd think from just a picture, we would have misinterpreted something or guessed something wrong. But it was, I mean, they did such a great job on this artwork. It was very, very clear. Oh, hey, this is the same guy that's all the way over on the other side of the map. And you could just tell because they did such a great job with the artwork. I also appreciate, because whenever you've got games that reveal things along the way, you've always got to make sure and keep the stuff you're not supposed to know at the beginning private. Mm-hmm. And I think putting everything in those translucent sleeves was just a wonderful way to do that, because there's no like accidentally flipping the card over. There's no stop, don't go any farther. But if you shake the box, it might mess it up because it's already in this sleeve that you can't see through until you decide to take out that scenario.
That's right. And because they're all split, you're just focusing on that one scenario.
Exactly. So I think that was a brilliant way to do that.
For sure. All right. So there's no expansion per se, but there are three other standalone games within this series that you could get.
Yeah.
There's Micro Macro Crime City. They all start with the Micro Macro Crime City, but then you have Full House, All In, and Showdown. And they all have their own themes and whatnot going along with them. They still have the same kind of artwork, but they kind of focus on different things. So feel free to check those out. They're all about the same price point as well. So with that, Anna.
Yes.
What grade are you giving this game?
I'd say I'd probably give it a solid probably B, I guess.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, I think so. And just because it's so unique, I'm trying to think, there's not a lot to compare it to.
Yeah.
You know? And so I can't be like, oh, this is the best of the best and does way better than anything else does in this category, because frankly, I can't think of another game that really does things like this. So yeah, I like it for what it is. It's a shorter game. I could see you kind of burning through the 16 scenarios pretty quickly if you really get into it and then being like, hang on. Luckily, there are other
games in the series.
If you get in that predicament,
I think that if you go through 16 games, you've gotten your money worth. No.
I'm not saying you haven't gotten your money's worth. I'm saying you could burn through the game to where then you can't play the game anymore.
Well, they have a suggestion for that.
Okay.
So once you go through the whole game, you can mount the map on the wall and let it be a conversation piece and just be like, whipping out a scenario when people come over and be like, hey, try to solve this.
That's actually super cute. And it would go great on a wall. And then you could color it.
All great
things. Like you've always wanted.
I don't know about always wanted to, but it is like a thing that I think about when I look at the map. I'm just like, this should be colored. But I don't think I'm good enough at coloring to make that look good.
Oh, man,
so
it would take forever.
Oh, yeah, it'd be like a life's journey.
Yeah, literally a life's journey. My goodness gracious. Yeah.
It'd be a lot.
Yeah.
So I kind of go back and forth. I kind of put this somewhere between a B++++ and an A-++. Like it sits like right there on the line. I think that for what it is trying to do, it does it really well. I enjoy the fact that I can feel like I'm solving this puzzle and it's not taking me an hour plus. I like the cute artwork. I like the fact that I can unpack it and repack it in less time than it takes to play the game, and the game doesn't take a super long time. And I also enjoy the tracking around the map. I think that's a lot of fun. I do have the couple of detractors, the map being as big as it is. I get it. It has to be that big because you're implementing 16 scenarios and you're trying to make it, you know, what it is. And the fact that you can only play this at two and you've got to have a certain table setup to where everybody's comfortable and feeling like they're involved at the same time does detract from it a little bit. But overall, I am very pleased with this game.
Yeah, I agree. I like it.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you all so much for listening, especially if you've made it this far. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. If you don't like socials, I get it. I have a better way. Please head over to thegametablepodcast.com, our website, and leave us a comment on the episode.
Woo-woo.
You could also shoot us an email at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or find us on BoardGameGeek. 5-star reviews, subscribing in your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, if that's your thing, and joining the conversation on Discord. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, and to Anna Snyder, who made the music. Join us next week as Ian and I jump on over to the feature table for another review. In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
Goodbye.